Blog Talk Radio.
Stop talking
about the harassment, to be honest with you.
Assalamu alaikum. This is the international broadcast of Religion Means Alive. Today we're going to have our brother Murad Muhammad on, a great boxing promoter. Brother Murad, are you there? Brother Murad, are you there?
Is he there?
Brother Murad, are you there?
Yo, give me the... Give me. God, you're just stupid. He's dumb as hell.
Murad Muhammad. Hello? Hello?
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Murad.
Hey, sir.
All right, there you go. Now you're good. Now you're on the air. All right. Whenever you're ready.
I'm ready. Assalamu alaikum. We want to apologize for the technology. I'm on the air. We want to apologize for the technology. It is not our technology. And so, therefore, we have patience with those who own the technology. Until we get our own, we definitely will have a problem. And you can't fault anyone because they created it. When we create our own, then we can blame ourselves. Nothing happens without the will of God. And so, therefore, I have patience. Normally, one will cancel out. Hopefully, those are there, held on, or called back in. But if, in fact, there's not too many on the phone, if it's just one, then I am motivated. More important than that is being recorded. And so, therefore, as long as it's being recorded, then I feel very comfortable in knowing that one day millions of people will hear it. We say assalamu alaikum, and we say with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. praise and thanks is for God. We thank him for the gift and the blessings of the mortal human being person, Muhammad, the honorable, noble servant and messenger, and God, and with we follow of this salute of the traditional sanitation to the last prophet and the seal of the prophet mentioned in the Bible as it is given in the Holy Quran. Once again, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. Today we want to discuss the little simple things that has people losing their life, committing suicide, and all the things that is a sin. Most of the people that's involved have no clue of what's going on today, and we are puzzled why these things are happening. They are happening out of ignorance, oppression, and people are disappointed in how life is being issued to the individual. But we as individual owe a debt to God, whether we like it or not. We have to understand that we all have to stand on our own two feet in the final day of judgment, and we have an account for that which we have done in this world. And so, if it pleases Allah to guide my tongue to say something to the right and see if I can motivate who's listening, because you have to pay attention. That's our problem. We do not pay attention. We sometimes hear words, and words can go through one ear and out the other. But if the words can stick with you, and surely the words of God is the greatest words that you can give to a next person. And I take pride, and I am honored to be able to have the opportunity to manifest that God has given me. God gives all of us a gift. We cannot make it in society if we don't get the gifts that God gives to us. We don't recognize those gifts because we take it all for granted. But Imam Walisdeen Muhammad, I am a student of Imam Walisdeen Muhammad, and I knew when he existed in the flesh that he was a mercy to us for giving us the understanding of the right side of the Holy Quran. But in order for you to get the full concept of Scripture, you have to read all of Scripture. I've asked Imam Walisdeen Muhammad because he had a habit of saying he's in paradise. Surely I want to be in paradise while I live, because he was in paradise while he lived. And his answer to me was, if you read all of Scripture, then you're in paradise. Oh, my buddy, I started reading Scripture. And I get a full understanding that the Quran is a clear evidence of what we read in the Torah and what we read in the Bible. And it's just an extension of what the Bible has given us, which is closer to the Holy Quran. But we as human beings and we who say we're Muslims, we do not understand that. We can't conceive that in our mind. We have a problem with understanding that the Word of God did not just come 1,400 years ago. The Word of God was given to Adam. Adam is the original biological father of all human beings. God gave Adam the Word of God. And Adam didn't fall, he slipped, just like you and I slipped. But the first reaction of Adam, our father, was repentant. You have to repent when you slip. And God will have mercy on you and forgive you for your sins if, in fact, you would ask God to forgive you for your sins. One believed that cannot sin, and so they're not conscious of their sin. and one keeps on sinning and have lost all conscience and recognize that they have sinned. But brothers and sisters, you have to keep in mind that you and I are not going anywhere and make it in this world without understanding the will of God. You must have God in you. It's in you. It dwells in you. He is closer to you in your jugular vein, but you don't recognize it, and nor do you take notice that God is with you in every step of the way. Yes, he didn't breathe into his creation that he called crown of creation and then leave you alone. No, he's there. You call on him and he will answer you. If you do not call on him, he will not answer you. So this is not instilled in our children. It's not instilled in society. It's not instilled in our politicians. Yes, our politicians are operating on man's knowledge and forgot the knowledge that man has received. You cannot accept Allah, the God, do anything that comes into your mind to do. You cannot unconsciously operate in this world without being conscious of God. You must be conscious of God. You must understand that you wouldn't be here if it was not for the will of God. You and I have to bow in submission and turn our entire will over to God himself. Yes. How do you do that? Well, you must get up and pray. You must get down on your knees as we, the Muslims in Islam, get down with our forehead on the rug as if we was in the womb of our mother, bowing and submitting that whatever knowledge we obtain, doctor, lawyer, engineer, we put all that to the side when we go to our Lord. We bow in submission and we beg him and understand that whatever we obtain is because of his will. If he didn't will it, we could not receive it. So we have to remember that you have to call on him. We, the Muslims that understand that we are Muslims and that we accept Islam as peace to be our religion, we submit to the will of God 5 times a day. It's necessary. It's necessary to be able to pray when you wake up in the morning. It is necessary for you to pray in the noon. It is necessary for you to pray in the midday, and it's necessary that you pray in the evening. And now you're ready to lay down to rest. It ain't guaranteed you're going to wake up, but you ask Allah to awaken you and give you the strength to get out of bed and do the things that you was created to do. But you do not have to waken. So you ask him that you accept his will, and if in fact he decides to remove you from this world, is to ask him, can you go to paradise? Yes, 5 times a day. If you do it 5 times a day, when you wake up from your bed and your wife follows in with you to your prayer, then it's both parents, husband and wife, male and female coming together and submitting to the will of God. That'll last you till noon. But then because of everything that's happened, you go and bow your head again. And ask for anything that you've done wrong up until 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock noon. Why? Because you could have met his sin. Not physically. How about mentally? How about morally? Just your thoughts, you ask and beg God for forgiveness. Now you're good until about 4 o'clock. With us, during this time, we're making prayer again at 2:30. And then we're making prayer again around 4 o'clock. Then we make prayer again. And we make our prayer in our evening. And that's our five prayers that keeps you consistent and recognize that God is in charge. Now, it might seem extreme to you, but once you begin to do it, it's like exercise. If I ask you to lift 5 pounds and you never lift it, it's going to be difficult. Then I give you 10 pounds. It's going to be a little difficult. Then I give you 30 pounds. How about 40? And pretty soon 50 becomes natural to you. Why? Because you're exercising. Well, in prayer, you are exercising your obedience consistently. And therefore, you build muscles, not the physical muscles you see in the mirror. You build muscles in your moral decency. You build muscles in your character. You build muscles in your obedience to God. You build muscles to be upright and transparent. That's the muscles that you build when you are consistent in being obedient to God. Now you have God with you. And so your five senses kick in. Oh, your five senses is a blessing. I'm not talking about hear, see, smell, touch. No, I'm not talking about those five senses. What I am talking about, common sense. The common sense has to be consistent, repetition. You cannot give up on your five senses. If you do, you're off balance. All knowledge is based on the five senses. Why? Because in the womb of your mother, you was given those five senses. And you came out with the knowledge of heaven, what it is to be in heaven. So God gives you a blessing. He teaches you how to breathe. He teaches you how to smell. He teaches you how to hear, how to see. He teaches you how to eat. He teaches you how to sneeze, how to blink your eye. Why, brothers and sisters, he teaches you even how to go to the bathroom. Our mothers don't have to, and fathers don't have to teach us that. Our mother teaches us of this world. We are learning this world. But we came into this world with the gift that God has given us. And what is that gift? Your five senses. So most of us get away from that gift, and we don't understand that's a gift. Five senses. There's a book out by a doctor. His name slips my recollection. But who made five senses common? That was his question. Well, you don't have to read his book that he's trying to figure it out. It's simple common sense. The reason it's common, because regardless how wealthy you are or how poor you are, regardless what's the color of your skin or what nationality you are from, what part of the earth you are from, has nothing to do with that. It's common. It's common for the common human being. Was you not common before you grew up? Why, when that sperm went into your mother's womb, that life germ, you became what? Water, blood, and semen. And man can't see it with the naked eye. But if you take a telescope and look at it, it looks like a little worm. You had common sense. That's where the sense began. And then you grew, because it comes in stages. You grow in the womb of your parent, your mother. And in the womb of your mother, you become an infant. In what? In Sajda of prayer. Submitting your whole will to God. Yes. God allows your mother to breathe, to keep you alive, and to eat, to keep you alive. And then you come out of that womb and you see things you never saw before. And your mother's trying to teach you English because she's American. Or Spanish because she's Latina. Russian because he's a Russian. And so forth and so on. Yes, this is normal. But because you're in another part of the world, Were you in China, in Korea, Germany, England? Wherever you may be, you got these common sense. Now here comes man's education. And everything that man gives you, he too had to first have common sense. He too had to come through the womb. And by him coming through the womb, he learns. God gives him a knowledge that he's able to obtain and put it in manifestation. Everything you see in creation that's good is God. Yes, that's Allah. He's the Lord of all the worlds. And so you grow up, and your father gives you gifts also. Who put food on your table, clothes on your back, a roof over your head? Your father. Now, I know some mothers, that's an exception to the rule. I'm talking about parents. We're talking about what this society did not try to create to make sure that man and woman stay together. That's this society. I'm talking about God's world. He gave you parents. You could not come out of that tunnel if it wasn't for your father planting that seed. So it took two to come together. So the father gives you these gifts. And you should appreciate it. I remember my children getting ready to make prayer over their food. And I asked the question, why are you praying over your food? Well, we want to thank God, Daddy, for giving us this food. I said, no, your father gave you that food. So why are you praying over it? Well, we don't know. I said, you're praying over the food because over that food is God's blessing that there's no poison there. There's no poison in that food. Daddy can't do that. So you ask God to bless this food to be good for your human consumption so you don't choke or you don't get no disease or any poison. So we pray to God for that. Daddy can't help you with that. So God is the overseer of the heavens and the earth. That's a gift. I can't do that. You cannot do that. So he gives you these gifts. The sun, the moon, the stars, the water, the land, the trees, the vegetables, the earth that grows the vegetables. God gives that to you. And if you ain't thankful or knowledgeable to know that comes from the will of God, it's hard for you to make it in this society. So I want to speak about young men committing suicide, young men taking the life of another human being. Do you not teach them that they owe a debt to God? Because God gives them what they have as charity, the air they breathe, the water they drink. But you got to give it back. Anything that's given to you good, you have to give it back. You have to give back the air you breathe or you'll die. You'll drown if you don't give back the water that goes into your body. You sweat it out. It's got to come back. The food that you take in got to come out. This is charity from God. So you owe him a debt. But God punished the human being that takes his position. His position is life or death. So when you commit suicide, you are saying you're God. That you have a right to take your life. No, that's a major sin, son. You cannot take your life. You will be punished in the final day of judgment. Why? Because you're saying you're God. God tells you when you're going to live. You had no judgment over that. But he gave you ability to will. And that which you will that he is not favorable of, he'll give you permission to pull that trigger. But you're going to pay. You can't blame that on your parents. Then when you take somebody else's life, that's double punishment. You took your own as punishment. Now you turn the gun on someone else. It's a shame that our children have a mental problem. Yes. They all disturb, but no one understands that. But the man that killed those two police officers in New York had to drive a distance. That means he premeditated what he was going to do. But the reason he had no fear of what he was doing, because he's going to take his life, his own life. So he felt if he's going to take his life or what he sees that's going on, motivated him to say, I'll put a stop to these police officers. But he didn't kill the perpetrator, if you want to refer to that police officer that go around killing people. He killed two innocent human beings. And one person said, yeah, but why didn't he kill the white man? Why did he kill a Latino and an Asian? Well, it's bigger than that. That man didn't see color. He saw uniform. Yes, that was a color, blue. And so he killed both of them and then turned on himself. It is wrong if that young man knew the wrath that he's going to face on the final day of judgment. Now, those two officers, they left here in tragedy with you and I, but not in the eyesight of God. They wasn't expecting that. They had no suffering. They go right to paradise. But it sends a message to the entire police department. It sends a message to us as civilized human beings. Something is wrong. The day that an officer killed by their own citizen for no reason other than one or two or ten out of millions is causing major uproar in the country. I heard one young man say, a senator at that this code of silence got to stop. There's no such thing as secrecy. It's transparent. If you're not transparent, it's not going to work. One apple. We used to say one apple can spoil the bunch. There's a few officers that's off the hook. They just killing people for the sake of pulling the trigger, like killing an animal. Yes, you got to weave them out of there. But you can't take on the entire police department that protects you, that's there for you, that has the same love for the next human being that you have. I tell my children all day long, you got a choice. You can go to college and get a degree. You can go in the Air Force or the Navy or the Marine or the Army, or you can be a police officer. Maybe that will teach you about life in general. Now, most children decide education. And some of their service, if you're not educated, they ain't let you in anyway. But at one time, you can get in these branches. Today they want intelligent people. But it starts at home. Now surely the parent does not have anything to do with an adult that make that decision. We can raise our children strict in our religion. And they can get a certain age and they can change religion. You may be angry with that person. I'm not angry. That's their choice. They don't have to answer to mother and father. They got an answer to their Lord. But let's read what the Quran says. That if you're in a religion, be a good one, and you'll make it to heaven. Believe in one God and believe in the hereafter. You'll make it to heaven. So our children is not going to just take on our religion because we say so. That's okay when they're under our roof. But when they get older, they make their own decisions. And society tells you just that. But the point is, you got to give them a foundation. And the foundation is not education with your associate degree, your bachelor's degree, or your degree, or your PhD, or doctor of medicine. That's not the degree that gets you in heaven. If you don't know the will of God, and you don't understand the will of God, you're not going to make it. You are all confused. The country is confused. If you can't lead the country and not be transparent, for once we got a human being in the office. It just so happened his father came from Africa. So there's not America, man can take credit for Obama. He came through a seed from Africa, and he has upright morals. He has family ties, and he tries to do for the people that need help. He ain't so much interested in the rich. They got it. He want to know, is every human being in America has insurance? While most of you, including those who come from the African-American neighborhood, don't want to give him respect. But I'm telling you, he is the will of God. Now, it's a shame that they can't produce one in America. What happened? You think that that's their choice or this is the will of God? He's sending a message to us that you can't go in office and be white, and you can't go in office to be black. You have to go in office and be a human being. Well, let's take a look at our preachers, our imams, our rabbis. You cannot serve the will of God and be obedient to God and want to make money in this world. Why, you shouldn't even be interested in a quarter. God will give you what you want. But you have to be a leader of the community. What's good for the community, that's what I'm a part of. How is it that you drive Bentleys and Rolls Royces and Ferraris and your congregation don't have nothing? How is it that you are an imam and you don't have to worry about your bills, but everything pretty much on that floor is catching hell? And you can sleep at night? Well, that's not a leader. A leader worries about every individual in that masjid or that church. He should ask a question. How many of you sitting here on this floor that don't have a job? I wouldn't care with 80%. His job is to find jobs for the 80%. He should not sleep at night. And to everyone in that masjid is working, have some kind of employment, or bring a staff to create employment for them. Don't tell me this ain't a land of opportunity, the land of the braves. You're free. You're free to create anything that's not illegal. Why are you not doing it? Because you're selfish in making people think that you are with them, but reality says something is wrong with your understanding, something is wrong with your heart. The soul of the mind of the human being is given to us as a gift, Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustaining of all the world. Praise is given to God. We thank him. We can never thank him enough for producing the human being to be what? Guardian of the universe. Yes, there's nothing the human being cannot do. And so we've talked about the other day, last Tuesday, about this seven levels of the human being. Seven prophets of the human being: Adam, Noah, Lot, Moses, Jesus, Abraham, Muhammad. Seven times going around the Kaaba, seven times stoning Satan, 7 days, Muhammad the prophet went up the seven heavens. All these sevens represents what? The development of man. Yes, development of man. Man is developed by Allah, bringing him through stages. Seven doors to heaven. The mouth, the right nostrils, the left nostril, the right ear, the right eye, the left eye. Seven doors to heaven and seven down to hell. Yes, seven doors where Satan comes through to get you. But seven up is Allah placing the angels there to protect you from Satan. All these sevens is the development of the human being. We don't know it. We just say it. We have no clue what God is saying to us. We don't read his creation. We look at man, and man reads, and he just gives you words. But you don't define those words. You don't look into those words and find out what do those words mean. Why, what is he talking about? But words make a person. Yes, if you recognize Muhammad the prophet was the seven, the seal of all the prophets. Allah gave them to us in stages. I think, and I'm not an Arabic teacher, but I tried to learn words that has a great deal of meaning. Nabin means singular, the prophet. But then beyond means all the prophets. It's plural, all seven. Now, there's many more prophets in between, but those are the seven that God gives to you to make you feel good in your soul, that you're free, that you can understand that each one of those prophets came to get to what? The seal of the prophet. The seal of the prophet was not for one area of the earth. The seal of the prophet is for the entire universe. For every human being, you had a type that came from Adam. You came from Adam. And because we came from Adam, we have his nature. And his nature was the first nature that God breathed into him, some of his spirit. Yes, God was breathing into us some of his spirit. I told my son the other day, I said, be careful, son, stay in shape. Because my father told me, in our genes, we have sugar diabetes, and we can trigger it. In my genes, where it come from, Pop? My grandpa. You mean your father? No, my grandpa. Where he get it from? His grandpa. So if we understand that you don't catch sugar diabetes, you inherit it. Then why don't you inherit the perfect nature that your father Adam inherited? Oh, they won't tell you that. That's so far-fetched, they don't even speak about Adam. They don't want you to know about Adam. But they want you to know about Jesus. Because why? They figured that Jesus came without the aid of a man that God said being is. And so therefore, you would be able to fall victim to their tricks and their schemes with Jesus Christ. Common sense tell you that he's not a snake, he's not a bird, he's not an animal, he's not a Martian. He ain't come from nowhere but the womb of Mary. And because he came through that womb, that makes him a human being, just like you and I. We are human beings. And so that makes him human. But yet, he had a gift that God gave him, taught him how to speak the words of God. It wasn't his flesh that God was talking about. It was his words. And so they took the physical saying of God, north, south, east, and west, and made it a cross. And make you think that it was a physical cross. It's not a physical cross, ladies and gentlemen. It's an image that Satan created for you. And that image that Satan created for you and placed it around your neck, on your wall, made you practice unconsciously of idol gods. Because remember, it was idol gods during the time of Christianity and Judaism. That was a sin. Well, unconsciously, you practice a sin now. But we believe in the cross. We believe in north, south, east, and west. But the one that shoots straight up, vertical, that's the straight path of God. You can never get off that path. When you get off that path, then you fall victim. But God says there's a horizontal that goes straight across, the vertical. And that horizontal represents what? Family, wife, husband, children, religion. Yes, religion. Without having some kind of education, you'll be spaced out on religion. Law. You got to have law. Don't your mother's father have law? You must take a bath. You must put on clean clothes. You must go to bed at a certain time. You can't stay out late. You better not put your feet and your shoes on her white rug. You must wash your hands and clean your nails and comb your hair. You must have creases in your pants and everything have to be neat. Those are laws. So you got to have law. And then you got law enforcers. Yeah, our military is law enforcers to protect the country. And our police officers are law enforcers, but so is your parents. They enforce the law in the house to give you what? Discipline. To do what? To respect those in authority. You can't do what you want in your mother's house. And you cannot do what you want when you go away to college. Or you get kicked off that campus. And you can't do what you want in the school. There's laws, but you obey laws because you was taught that. Obey those in authority. And then you have business, industry. But we can get hung up on business and industry and forget the straight path. There's no one reminding us you forgot God. You left God out. So this is why you got Bloods and Crips that has no conscience that they're committing major crime by killing one another. They're going to pay, not you. You can't even beg for them. On the day of the final judgment, they got to speak for themselves. And they can't talk with their lips. Well, who's going to speak for them? Their flesh. Their hands going to say, oh, he made me pick that up. The feet going to tell them he made me walk that direction. Yes, isn't this the will of God? That seems far-fetched from you when he created you from a clot of blood. Just think about it. That little worm, and look at you today, you don't look like no worm. Man has nothing to do with that. But until you come into the consciousness of understanding what God wants for us, you will never get it, brothers and sisters. We become so selfish that we just talk back to our mothers. We argue with our mother. We engage with her and get her upset. But nobody read that in Scripture it says when you send your mother to the bed crying, you Allah push you closer to the hellfire. When you make your mother sad, you'll push her closer to the hellfire. When you upset your mother, it push you closer to the hellfire. Now, I don't say about dad, because we dad will tell you, you go to hell. Mama ain't going to say that. Mama gonna argue with you and try her best because what you do, you could be a junkie, and your mama still try to take you in and help you, not daddy. Daddy say you give up, you can go to hell as far as he's concerned. So it doesn't mention daddy, but it mentions mama. But just look at mother. Mother carried you for 9 months. Mother went through pain, and she can die on that operation table delivering you. She could have flushed you down the toilet. Then she give you her breast so you can eat. You suck on that breast. Mama catches you when you try to walk. Mama feeds you with her hands and you in her arms when you couldn't feed yourself. Mama wiped your butt when you urinated or defecated. Mama carried you when you couldn't walk. Mama holds you when you were sick and nursed you back to health. Mama dressed you and combed your hair and made sure you look presentable when you walked out the door. Now, all of a sudden, you can comb your own hair. All of a sudden, you can clothe yourself. And you can bathe yourself. Or you even can go to the bathroom by yourself. And you begin to look in the mirror and see you're growing. You got breasts. Or do you got back? Or your hair is growing. And you got muscles, man. Yeah, you came into your own. And then you turn around and tell your mama how you feel. Why, you don't think you're going to be punished? Something's wrong with you, man. That you are so ingrate. That you want to argue and fuss with your mother. So let me tell you what Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the Prophet, his descendants and his companion. Amen. Let me tell you what the Prophet said. When they asked him a question, who is the most important person in your life? He said, my mother. Who is the second most important person in your life? My mother. Who's the third most important person in your life? My mother. And last but not least, who's the fourth most important person in your life? And Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon him, said, my father. Three times you got a dicker on three fingers. Don't think mama ain't important. My mama can smack me, and I'm a senior, and I'll drop my head. She can tell me what to do, and I'll do it. She can want to go to church, and I'll put it on my shoulder and carry her there. I love my mother. I don't know what it is to say I'm angry with my mother. And I believe that's why God blessed me, to be successful, because I followed that rule to the T. Well, you got children today that won't do nothing for their mother. Oh, I hear the excuses. She didn't ask me. Why, something's sick with your mind. That your mother, you can see. If you can't see, were you Ray Charles? Well, he's deceased, so you must be Stevie Wonder. And you can't see that her refrigerator is empty? You can't see that she's paying all her money out to just make it. She don't have money to go into the mall to buy anything. But when you was working, making $15 a year, $1,500 a year, she took care of you. Then you begin to make $20 a year, $20,000, she took care of you. And then you begin to make $40,000, she took care of you. How about $50,000? Oh, you still came to her. All of a sudden, you grow. You become an entrepreneur. You land a job. You make $200,000, and now you're broke. You can't even buy your mother a bedroom set. You can't even buy her a kitchen set. You can't even put her in a decent place. Why, you selfish individual. And you think, sons out there, that you're going to make it. You ain't making it. Oh, time is coming, and it's going to crush on you. And who you going to go running to? Your mother. Because daddy would say you ingrate, but not mama. Mama will still take you in. You think that this life is permanent and God rewards you and you don't give it back. Something is sick with your mind. You got a disease in your heart that you don't love your mother. They will tell you how much money my mother got in the bank. The same money you put in there. Put some more in there. How much money my mother? Give her this. Give her that. Give her anything she wants. I got a history. Anybody around me does well. I got it. Everybody has it. Because I learned one thing. That if you don't give it back, God will not give you more. You have to give back that which he's given you. And it ain't always money. It's knowledge. It's love and affection. Kindness. It's a smile. It's a hug. Why, brother, you hide behind a religion. You say you Jewish, but you don't practice the Jewish religion. You say you Christian, but you ain't practicing the Christian religion. And you say you in Islam, and you bring a disgrace to us just with your character, just with your attitude, just with your disposition. And then you wonder why the children don't even respect you no more. You lost the respect of the child. Man, ain't a night go by I didn't talk to my mother. You ask the son, when the last time you talked to your mother? Oh, 5 days ago. 10 days ago, how about 20 days ago? Well, you trifling, weak individual you are. You should talk to your mother every night. See how she's doing. Why, in 3 days, she might be in the ground if she's a Muslim or a Jew. You don't miss the funeral or the janazah. Because we bury them quick. Because we don't embalm them. Why we don't embalm them? Because we respect that which God instilled into the human being's nature. Water, blood, iron, iron, all every metal, everything that's in the human being goes back into the earth in which it comes from, and we don't destroy God's creation, including that flesh that was dust. The preacher got it right, ashes, ashes, and dust to dust. Because that's what we was, dust, before God molded and shaped us from the earth. So that must go back. You keep it out too long, it'll stink. We don't embalm them. We don't kill God's creation. So they got to go in the grave within 3 days, no more than four. Some people bury them early than that. You die today as a Jew, you go in the grave. You died today as a Muslim in the East, you go in the grave the next day. Here, we give you a couple of days to get in town. But you miss that, he's gone or she's gone. Physically. Physically, they are gone. So you should talk to your mother every day, not once a week. And you're supposed to make your business to visit her. And you don't have to ask her anything. God be my judge. I said to the banker, well, how much money she has in there? Oh, well, she got $20,000. Well, put another $20,000 in there. I had my sibling come to me. You know who she going to give it to. That's her prerogative. That's her money. Once you give it away, that's her. I ain't going to tell her how to spend her money. Oh, my mother loved me because I loved her. There's nothing that my mother could do wrong. And I ain't here to correct her. You don't even sit down and have a dinner with her because you're afraid what might be on the plate. Yes, with your righteous self. But you reading the Quran, smoking reefer. But you won't help your mother. You go out and do unmoral things, but you won't help your mother. You don't make your 5 prayers a day, but you won't help your mother. All you are righteous and thou. Well, let me tell you something. Islam don't make you, brother. It compliments you. If you are no good individual before you came, you are no good individual under the sign of religion. Religion doesn't change you. Allah says, I will not change the condition of a people until they change that which is bothering their soul. Meaning you got to change yourself. Religion don't change you. A woman don't change you. She compliments a man. If you ain't no man, she cannot do nothing with you. She don't have the power to do so. And she may be too old to try to start all over with this kid's mind. You go to work, come home, and play video games for 6-7 hours, just like a kid. I don't know a man that got something on his mind constructively, sits behind a computer, and play games on TV. He can't. I'm a man. I can't do it. It's a waste of time. I got too much to do in this society. I don't know when I'm not going to wake up to play those kind of games. They are time-consuming. You're on the internet talking to the world. The woman got another man. She texting him, and you don't even know she's having a conversation with another man. You sitting right there. You're not computer literate. You're illiterate. So you don't know what she's texting. The same way now the man got it. He does the same thing. No respect. Yes, Allah says 2, 3, or 4. But you don't bring hell to your wife. And all those who allow it to come in the door, you charge with it. She's supposed to be at peace. You come home, you're home. And if you decide you're going to have another one, then that's your home. But you don't confuse the two. Who are you to bring hell to your wife? Yes, let's get it together. You have to stand up and be a man. You're a protector. You're the guardian of your home. You provide for those who's under your roof. That's your job, man.
Well, I make $200,000. She make $150,000. She can help.
No, that's her money. Matter of fact, she shouldn't have to work. You make $200,000. But you lose your wives because you want them to be man with you when it comes to the finance.
You take care of half the bills, I take care of half the bills.
Well, you're half a man. It's your responsibility. She can bank her money. Oh, if she want to loan it to you or give it to you, that's her prerogative. You should thank Allah, thank her too. But she ain't obligated, brother. This is Islam. If you're going to practice it and you're going to be a Muslim, then you got to be upright. You got to be upright in your understanding. You won't get the understanding unless you read the Holy Quran. Not once a week, every day. Read a juice of the Quran every day and watch your whole life will change when you bring God into your heart and you be obedient to God. You'll cut out all this play and you'll stand up and Allah will try you. He will try you with the death of your father. He will try you with the death of your mother. He will charge you with the aggravation of your wife that will walk out the door on you. Oh, man, you want to drop to your knees and cry, but you stand up knowing that God is sufficient. Ah, you can't break me down. I don't care who you are. Nothing happens without the will of God, and if you leave me, it was God's will. Now, I can't figure it out, but later on I come to the knowledge and say, God removed her. And then you think you can come back to con me and trick me? Can you fool a Muslim? Not nowadays. I wish I could tell my history. I've been tested. I passed the acid test because my community is who I'm married to. And if my wife cannot submit to that, then she got a problem, a big one. Now, I'm not going to divorce you because it says it's better or worse. And I'm going to try to halal you. I don't care how many years it takes. I'm going to halal you, inshallah. But if you got a mental problem, there's nothing I can do with you. But once you divorce me, or once you leave me, I owe you nothing. I owe you nothing. Now, you can come back, and you can be gorgeous as you want to be, but I ain't married back into hell. I know a righteous woman when I see it, because I lived it. I know what females does. You look for trouble, you will find it. I tell my son, don't you ever, ever look for trouble with your wife. You just doing what you're doing that's good. And Allah will bring it to you when you least expect it. Then you make a choice. Yes. I've been in that position. People have come to me and been through some trial and error that will blow your mind. I said, well, you have a choice to make. You can leave her, which is the easiest thing to do, or you can help clean her up. And if you help clean her up and she cleans up, man, you got the greatest woman you ever would see. Yes, well, I ain't no chump. That don't make you a chump. Because this world out here get anybody. What makes you think it won't get her? The problem is, sisters, is that if you choose that route, whatever level you on, you won't make it to the next level. You left your destiny behind, chose to wobble in this society. It doesn't work. You can't hide from God. I heard Muhammad Ali as a pimp. He said, pimp, do you do that in front of your mother? He said, no. He said, why are you doing it in front of God? I was a youngster. That means a lot. Whatever you're doing wrong, it could be behind your husband's back. It could be behind your wife's back. But God records everything. So we don't teach our children, nor do most of you out there don't understand that there's an angel on the left and an angel on the right. And the angel on the left is recording everything. You think man came up, what's in the dark will come to the light? Well, you better hope it comes to the light in this world, because then you got time to beg God for forgiveness by the time you die, because we all got to die. And when you die with that shame, you're going to pay for it. Oh, yes, you are. So you want it to come out, and you want to deal with it. Let's get it out. Let's deal with it. I was told by a very distinguished man named Minister James. He said, go there on 42nd Street and find you a prostitute and clean her up. He said, I'll show you the most outstanding, firm woman that you could ever have as a wife. I said, why would I do that? He said, because you don't have to worry about her falling, because you just picked her up from hell. And I thought about that. Meaning, who are you to ask her what she did yesterday? And today she receives God in her heart. The Christians call it reborn. They got it right. You're reborn again. God makes everything new. You don't believe that? Yes. I'm quite sure you don't know what you got in your house, whether it's male or female. You don't know. Today, you got women marrying men that's called down low. They go both ways. Today, women are marrying men that's child molesters. Today, they're marrying men that women abuser. Today, they marry men that are junkies. Yeah, you end up with it. You don't know what you got. And then you, the female, think you can allow him. That ain't written nowhere. If he don't allow himself, you can't do it. Now, vice versa, the man has the ability to allow the female because he gives her the necessary things in the world. Why do you think he loved God? Preacher, teach her to love Jesus. In order for you to love Jesus, you got to come through me. So that's why he can sex those women, because they think he's the closest thing to Jesus. Well, that's a trick. That's a con. We should come up with a law that we catch you doing that, then we send the do-right team I guarantee you that either you're going to be the preacher or you're not. But you ain't going to be no pimp in the name of the Lord. Yes, the Lord. Let's look at that word. They believe they the Lord, that they call themselves the Lord Lamb, the landlord. The landlord. The Lord is God. Don't let nobody fool you and tell you the Lord is the prophet, Jesus. Jesus is not the Lord. God is your Lord and sustainer. The sustainer of the heavens and the earth and everything between it. Yes. And you got to understand that he gave us a mortal human being as a person. He's a person. The prophets, yes, you see them as individual, but they are plural. They are human beings. They represent the human family. So don't look at them as just individuals. Because they bleed, they get tired, they go to sleep, they eat just like you. But God changed them, reborn them, as you want to say, and gave them the word of God. And the word of God they bring to us to keep us straight. One after another, after another, after another, after another, to keep man straight. And then we use him. We use God, Jesus, to shield our dirty religion. Yes, it is a dirty religion that they come up with. Jesus died on the cross. He was crucified on the cross. And you believe that. There's no proof. You got people now saying that there's no proof that Jesus was dead on a cross. But it's sold. It's sold for years. And you practicing it now. Christmas is a holiday that all that they didn't make through the year, they make it during this year back. Who created that? Who made you feel that you celebrating the man that died for your sins? That is totally mathematically impossible. Yes, impossible. For a man to die for 8 billion people's sins. Now, do that make common sense to you? But they got you believing it. All you got to do is use your common sense. That they nailed a guy on the cross and he said, oh God, forgive them for they know not what they are doing. Well, if he said that, what God was he talking to? Oh, that's right, those who believe he's the Son of God. That is a sin that you think God, who created the mortal human being by dirt and dust, had to use a human being that don't even look like you. Why the Asians and the Russians and all the other people that don't look like a man from Asia, from Europe, should be angry that God chose someone that don't even look like us. They made them white with long hair and blue eyes. So why? So you can love them. Don't hit that white man. That could be Jesus. And then the preacher having sex with the women and some with men. And the priest is molesting little children, but he's next to God. Why is these things happening, brothers and sisters? Because Allah is showing you that this can't be. So our children now has become murderers. If we don't go out and get them, may Allah bless those two officers' paradise, separate their sins from their goodness, and grant them the hereafter. This should not happen in a civilized world. But that's what happens when you take tech on innocent people. Some people out there is boycotting. They don't look like you. You got Caucasians standing up saying, you shooting our boys down. Well, they're white. I don't see no white people getting shot down by the police officers. Isn't that a sign that they marching? Now, this is your holiday, but they out there marching, and they all white. I haven't seen but a few of us. What is God saying? These people recognize we're the human family. So that's our children. You see a Caucasian child get killed, that's your child. An Asian child, that's your child. A Latino child, that's your child. Where's your sensitivity of children? It says children. It has no nationality to it. Children being raped and sent over for sex slaves. Young girls. And you don't feel for that? You don't have no sensitivity for that? It's got to stop. This is all a con. All of a sudden, the mayor, because he has a black wife, is a perpetrator. The attorney general, for the first time, is a black man. He's a perpetrator. And the president of the United States, he's a black man, so he's a perpetrator. They only have respect for the president, all the attorney general, all the mayor of one of the largest cities in this country. Is this a sign that something is wrong with their mentality? But this takes precedent over a young kid that has asthma and goes outside his house and he trains. Some reason he lands 2 miles away from the house in a redneck area hung by the swing. You know, the pole that has the swing, they tied him up and hung him. And when they found the boy, they said, we don't know what happened. I think he committed suicide. But they couldn't find his belt because he didn't have no belt. They hung him with what? A dog neck chain. He didn't have a dog, nor did he put a chain around his neck. Then he wore a pair of sneakers. They said cost $250. Those are some expensive sneakers. He didn't have those sneakers on. He had on some K-marks. Now, what African-American you know will wear K-marks? Now, I ain't saying they K-marks, but that's how cheap they was. So they was bold enough to take the man's expensive sneaker. So they can't be too much of a redneck that somebody's child wears sneakers. But the autopsy says he hung himself. But you don't hear this. Why? What takes precedent of the two shootings of the police officer? That kills this, and nobody knows anything about it. It got to stop. How's it going to stop? It's got to be manifest. To the whole world. The whole world's looking at us. They don't respect us that they tapping in because they was getting ready to release a movie about Korea. And they expose them. You think that's all that's going to be exposed? A whole lot of things going to be exposed. You got a formal FBI agent who come into politics bold and aggressive, just been indicted for tax evasion. I don't care what it was. You let me or anybody be indicted for tax evasion, you'll hear it all over. Oh, man, we're all good. FBI. And they tell him to sit down. He say he ain't sitting down. It was in the dark, and he cleared it up, and he admitted to he was paying his carriers, who don't make a lot of money, under the table. I don't care how he did it. But where's the morals today? He was FBI. You think he doesn't know? So what Allah is doing is bringing down all the big shots that got their head in the sky. And then you wonder why you, who never made it on that level, but on a small level, you are busted for mistreating and misappropriating the Muslims' money. I said it. Yes, you are. And you will become, and you will be subpoenaed to the court of law to answer. We don't know what went on because the parties was not at the table. And someone's afraid to call everyone in. Well, we are a community. The community should know. We got to wipe out this so-called who you think you are or want to be. That's what you are or want to be. And that's why we can't progress. On the 25th of this month, which is Thursday, we're going to have about 700 children playing, having games in the Masjid Abu Sunnah up in East Orange. Men and women and children, all walks of life, will be up there. 8 o'clock for breakfast, 10 o'clock the games begin, all the way to 6 o'clock in the evening, to give our children something to do. This is what you do when you have a community. Now, you can bring your children. It's okay. Don't cost you nothing to get in. It costs you to join the team. If you got a soccer team, martial art team, or et cetera, then you pay. But anything else is free. Come and eat. You understand? You can eat breakfast for free. Put something in the bucket. Whatever you can afford. It costs money to do all of this. So you should understand that, but we ain't charging you. But you can bring your children. And don't just leave them. Come and be with them. And watch them. Then we got activities for the adults. Teach you, brothers, that why your children are being shot. And what to do when the law stops you. And how our brothers from Egypt and Pakistan is joining gangs and you don't even know it. You don't know the sign. You from overseas, so you don't know the sign tell of why our children are hooked up in all these various different things. Yes. You have to learn this. So we're willing to teach you. Then we're going to have movies. Muhammad the Prophet, Salah Salam, will be shown. What happened on the hill of Washington, D.C., and other good things that you can see. You don't just have to sit there and watch your children. We have seminars to teach you, keep your hands off of that female. We're warning you. We'll take the law in our own hand. Put your hands back on her and see if there won't be a knock on the door. Or wait 5 o'clock in the morning when you come outside. And then we'll show you what it is to beat on a female. See how you like it. Yes. I said it. They want to lock us up for that? For disciplining these women beaters? It ain't happening. You can't put your hands on our female. I don't care if you married her. She shouldn't have called us. Because it's repercussion. That's law. Rules and regulations. That governs you as a Muslim. You can't wear our garment and then go in the store and steal and rob. You come out of jail with that jailhouse thinking and think you're going to just do what you wanted, passing women to women to women and women to men, abusing our sisters. Nah, ain't going to happen. Yeah, we forming a team just to handle that. Now you can call up. They got a 911, but we got a 777. Dial 7. May I help you? Assalamu alaikum. My husband just put, where's your address? What he look like? We'll be there. Yes. You ain't putting your hands on our female, not this coming year. Yeah, that's how I talk. I call them in. All the tough guys. I like to see you all. Let's sit at the table and talk. I need entities. I need men that call themselves imams that's selling our religion. Let's bring them to the table. Yes, you don't have to come. You can call the cops. But don't come in our neighborhood teaching. Teach somewhere else, but not in our neighborhood. Oh, yes, you don't own these masjids. And if you do, then you ain't following Imam Wadithin Muhammad. This is Imam Wadithin Muhammad community, not yours. I don't know where you get off at. This is not your community. Yeah, we'll teach you seven heaven, brother. Yes, that's how I think. I come from the army. I was physical first for Allah, so Allah gave me the ability to be able to use my five senses in the right side of that Quran and put it all in perspective to want something out of life, but not just the life of y'all who call yourself Muslim. What about our Christian brothers? You don't think I love them? Sure I love them. Grew up with them. And why should I be separated from them? I thank Dr. Bill Howard. I love him. He says he loved me. And every time we get together, it's fruitful. We're talking about things that can help the state, not just the city of Newark, the state. That's how I operate. I think big. If you got a man in office that don't think big, we ain't going nowhere. All you got to do is wake up every day and you see the same thing every day. You know you have not made any progress whatsoever. So keep in mind, it's a sin to commit suicide. The only sin bigger than that when you put a God besides God. Cannot put Jesus beside God and believe that Jesus is your Lord. That's a major, major sin. And you cannot take God's position and kill yourself. And you can't go out and kill innocent people. Now, if you want to suffer in the final day, then help yourself. That man you killed, go to paradise. He don't have to suffer no more in this world. But you going to suffer. Oh, I know you committed suicide, but you're going to be reborn again. And when you're reborn again, you will pay. You will definitely, definitely pay. I wanted to teach a lot of other things. I wanted to teach about the Kaaba. I wanted to talk about more about the seven levels. I wanted to talk about why we dicker, why we go down in three rock eyes. What's the purpose of making ablution? You go and do wudu. Why you use your right hand, your left hand? Why you clean your hands first? Why you clean your mouth out, your nostrils, your eyes, and rub your fingers over your head, your elbows? Why do we do this? Do you understand why we do this? You think it's just a ritual? Or this is the way God talks to us, to give us what nature wants? I wanted to talk about lightning. You see the lightning, you just see it. Whoa, everything lights up. And then it goes off. That's how you are. That's how your mind thinks. You on Sunday, you light up. Monday, the lightning goes. It's God talking to us, telling us why lightning, why the daybreak, why they call it the dawn. Why didn't they call it another word, but they call it the dawn? Yes, why is these things that God gives us? You ever think about it? You ever understand it? Clothe yourself. That's the word God used. Clothe yourself. What, clothe your body? We are so wrapped up in the material substance that we think clothes in our body and putting scarves on our head makes us who we are. Allah ain't talking about that little material that man made. Where was it 1,400 years ago? What is you talking about? And when Jesus' feet was washed with hair. What do hair represent? Knowledge. Clothe what? Clothe yourself with righteousness. Righteousness. You can't be ugly and mean and hate your mama and talk about your headpiece can help you. This is the sickness of us. And you don't understand, it has nothing to do with it. I know a female that ran a country, never wore a headpiece, born in the Islamic world, and the first Muslim president. And they asked her, well, where's your headpiece? I got permission from my husband. That shut them all up. Your wife don't wear a headpiece. Why, brother, you need to wear a headpiece. Oh, sometimes you do. ain't nothing no ram about it. You can wrap your hair if you want to. It's okay. But it don't change who you are. If you're a drug addict or a drug pusher, I don't care what you put on your head. If you don't like your mother and you mistreat, I don't care what you put on your head. I don't care what clothes you've been on. Nobody likes you. So all the magic tells you not you and what you wear, the material substance of this world. That ain't what you're going to get judged for. No. I've seen some beautiful, gorgeous human beings in short dresses. And I've seen some ugly people in long dresses. Couldn't see their body. Can't even see their face. But their attitude is just despicable. Yes, get out of that physical stuff. And get into what God wants us to be when he gives us these words, blood, water, semen, the fish flopping, having fun, what all that means. The big fish, the sea, where it's salt. You take salt out of the sea and bring it into the air, it turns into stone. Yeah, you stone face it like a rock. All these things I cannot give you overnight. Yes, I wanted to talk about it, but too many things is happening in society, and we don't have a clue how we can handle it. You can't handle it. I can't handle it. Allah can handle it. So you got to go within God's name. So this straight path of the Sirata Mustaqim, the straight path to God, is vertical. You're supposed to do all you want, Arizona. That's what community is. A community is everything. But if you take your eyes off the straight path directly to God, you and I will have a major problem. And so Adam and Noah and Lot and Moses and Jesus and Abraham and Muhammad. Muhammad is the cake. You can't bake a cake without ingredients. You have to have butter, and you got to have sugar and everything else you put in a cake. But it ain't called a cake until you bake it. So it took seven prophets to get to the cake. Yes. So you got a problem because we call it a cake. Well, why don't we call it Moses or Jesus or Abraham? Well, why don't you call the cake butter? Or sugar or flour. Why don't you call it that? But you don't talk about that, but the cake tastes good. Muhammad the prophet was created through all these prophets, and he removed them one by one until he built the Khalifa. Not a ruler over another man or woman, the ruler of yourself. And one day I'm going to teach you about each one of these prophets. Because I know all of y'all believe that there was a flood. And Noah's son, because Noah got drunk, he laughed at him. The other son tried to help him. He had three sons. One of them got caught on the rock. We don't understand what that means. We don't understand what Lot means, that the wife turned into a pit of salt. She looked back. Why did she look back? Just the way y'all look back. Because it fascinated you. So you had to turn around. And when you turn around, after God told you, don't turn back to prostitution. Don't turn back to fornication. Don't turn back to all those things that would take your morals down. But you do it. You educated, and you get that education, and boy, you on the level, but you weak. You just, my Jones is down. Or I just got to have it. I got to get my thing off. And you get it off with this man. And then you find you don't get along with it, and you get off with the next man. And you can't find it, you get the next one. Now you can't count no more how many men you had. Don't something tell you that something is wrong? And then you walk around here and you're not married. Well, what did you read? You think you're going to make it in society and not be married? Well, you should be ashamed of yourself to go to your Lord without a husband. Oh, there's no man out there. How about you? Ain't no man want you. You ever thought about that? Ain't no men out here. That's the excuse. And it's so much excuse, you got women going with women. That's another story about why a woman want another woman. Because she feels that she has another woman, that she is not going to be able to do the things she have to do in the world. I thank you for listening to me. And may Allah be with you. And I pray Allah said something to motivate you. If I did anything to hurt your feelings, I apologize. If I split any verbs, I'm human. But if I did anything to give you a motivation and determination to be upright and be the creation that God has created you to be, give that credit to God. As-salamu alaykum. May God be with you.